So I would speak today on this particular title, that if no one is Pope, everyone is Pope. If no one is Pope, everyone is Pope. Because the Lord is teaching on a couple of things today that are important to get right. First of all, who He is. And secondly, what the church is, or rather, who the church is. So with that in mind, let's just sort of take a look at what the Lord is teaching us today. And although these topics may seem a little academic to you, I'm hoping to at least bring it in for a landing. So let's work with the topics together. First of all, the question on the table is the critical question, isn't it? If you're going to be a Christian, who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? Is He a prophet? Is He simply a prophet? Is he an ethical teacher? Is He a rabbi? Or is He the Lord of glory? And of course, He's all those things. But nevertheless, to solemnly come to discover that Jesus Christ isn't just some prophet who spoke to us, or an ethical teacher, or some historical figure, but that He is the Lord, is the critical moment of faith for us. Resurrection faith, if you go back to Easter Sunday with me, isn't just to say a corpse came back to life. That did happen, but more. See, when Mary Magdalene, for example, ran to the apostles, she didn't just say, "I've seen Jesus." She said, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." That is the true Christian faith. Not simply to say, well, a guy lived and died, got nailed to a cross, and then rose on the third day. He's not just some guy. He's the Lord. And when the church can no longer say, "We have seen the Lord," we'll no longer be the church. It's not just that we're telling you some stuff that got said and done, you know, thousands of years ago. We're saying, we've seen the Lord. He's alive in our life, and He's active. And He's not just some guy with nice teachings. He's not just a butler who gets me stuff that I need. He is the Lord. And that's the critical question. So the Lord has His 12 with Him, in a beautiful place, by the way, up at Caesarea Philippi, which is actually north of Israel in modern-day Lebanon, up near Mount Hermon. And that part of Israel actually has a little bit of snow up on it during the winter months. And beautiful waterfalls. It's a beautiful, luscious green area during the wet season. And there He is, and He, in that beautiful place where He's probably on a kind of retreat with His disciples, His apostles, He turns to them, and He proposes the fundamental question. And it's very important to find out how the question is properly answered. So the first thing I want you to notice in the gospel is that there is an inquiry which illustrates. It illustrates a problem. First of all, the Lord says, "Who do the crowds, who do the people say that I am?" And the text says, they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others you're Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets that's come back to life." By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but every one of those answers was wrong. Every darn one of them. You see, the idea of trying to find the truth by taking a poll has been tried and found wanting. You don't get the truth necessarily at all by taking a poll. What you do get are people's opinions. Opinion polls get you people's opinions. They do not get you the truth. They just tell you what people think, but that doesn't make it true. But you know, we have an attitude today, a lot of people anyway, that somehow finding out what most people think equals what's true. Well, if you get back in your time machine and go back with me to the Deep South about 1901, there was a lot of Jim Crow stuff, and most people and the white folks said, "Well, this is just fine. Keep the black folks segregated. Take a poll. Was that true? Did it make it true?" Go with me to Nazi Germany later in that same century. A lot of folks thought that the Jewish people got what they deserved and they should be rounded up and arrested and thrown out of the country and so on. Didn't make it true. See? So a lot of times people think, find the truth by taking a poll. doesn't necessarily give you the truth at all. It just gives you people's thoughts, people's opinion. But brethren, remember, a critical question is on the table. Not just a question of what color we're going to paint the house, or not just a question of whether people like cheese pizzas more than vegetable pizzas. That's just taste. But a critical truth is on the line. Who is Jesus Christ? And you got to get the answer right. You got to get the answer right. So taking a poll hasn't worked. Every single answer was wrong. So then the Lord says, all right. Well, we've taken a poll and we didn't quite get the right answer. How about you 12? What do you all think of me? So in other words, let's try a panel of experts. A blue ribbon commission to study the matter. See? And again, do you necessarily get the truth by forming a committee or bringing scholars together? Usually, if you put four scholars in a room, you get five opinions. You see? Again, all of this is just a way of saying that there is a value in having opinion polls. There's a value in having a kind of panel of experts. But again, it does not necessarily guarantee you the truth, because when Jesus asked the 12 corporately, who do you 12 say that I am? There's a lot of looking down at the dirt and kicking and waiting for the next guy to answer and not wanting to appear to be the fool. Right? Are you praying with me? You know how that works in group dynamics, right? Everybody's kind of waiting for someone else to say something so they don't look stupid. So you got a lot of looking around and silence, in other words. See, the committee can't generate the answer either. I'll tell you why, because the answer requires courage. So that's the inquiry that illustrates. Who do people say that I am? And then two things are tried. Namely, take a poll. Wrong answers. Take, if you will, a committee of experts. That'll get the answer. Now, brethren, I'm dwelling on this point for a purpose, because there are many people today who think that the Catholic Church is not just wrong about a lot of issues, but thinks that we're sort of almost immoral because we don't take a poll and then just reflect what Catholics actually think. That's just wrong. I mean, all those, you should find out what the people think and reflect that. You see? But brethren, pay attention. The job of the church is not to reflect the views of us, the members. The job of the church is to reflect and hand on the teachings of our head and founder, Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself, through his apostle Paul, said, you know, the gospel goes in season and out of season. We got to keep preaching what he said. He didn't end up nailed to that cross by just saying what everybody wanted him to say, by just listening to what people wanted him to say and saying that. He died because he often said things that were troubling and upsetting. And so you see the vision. We got to be very careful, because there's a lot of people today who not only pressure the church, but outright reject and call the church almost immoral for not simply taking a poll and reflecting what most Catholics think about whatever issue is in mind. And again, that isn't the job of the church. We have to accept what the Lord gave us and continue to hand that on. So the first thing you'll see, there's an inquiry that illustrates. We tried a poll and we tried a panel. Now then, here comes, if you will, the individual who is inspired. Finally, it says, Peter spoke. Peter spoke. And he said, you are the Christ. Now, that word Christos in Greek means the Messiah. It's the Greek word of saying, you're the Messiah. And you are the Son of the living God who is coming into the world. And Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Now, listen carefully to what he says, though. He says, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father revealed it to you. And that's very important, because it's not just that, well, Peter got it right, maybe because Peter had studied more, or he just happened to say the right thing, or maybe he was the most powerful. But rather, he got the answer right because God the Father inspired him to say the right answer. When taking a poll didn't work and forming a commission didn't work, one was anointed to give the truth. And that anointing came from God. Now again, I want to emphasize that because we in the Catholic Church have a teaching about the Pope that many people think is crazy. And I wasn't born yesterday. Maybe some of you think it's crazy. But we actually think that the Pope speaks for the Lord. And if it's an important matter about faith and morals that the Church absolutely depends on for the right answer, we believe that the Pope is protected by God from teaching error. I didn't say he can predict the sports events. I didn't say he can predict the weather. I'm just saying that in a matter of faith and morals that the Church absolutely needs a true teaching on, and where we ourselves might even be divided, we believe that God protects the Pope from uttering error or misleading us. And so it is, but it's right here in the text. Peter, you got the right answer, but pay attention, Peter. It's not about you, and it's not about Francis. I'm sure he's a smart guy. Pope Francis is a smart guy. He's a Jesuit. You got to do 10 years postgraduate studies to be a Jesuit priest. A lot of brainiac stuff going on, right? I'm sure he's a smart guy. I'm not trusting any of that. I'm only trusting that God has got his back. I'm trusting that if the Pope needs to come to a decision about an important matter of faith and morals, and the Church needs a right answer, that God's going to protect us from that Pope, any Pope, uttering anything erroneous. And it comes right from this text. Peter, I'm inspiring you, an individual, but my Father is doing this, and that's why you got the answer right. Not because you're smart, or you're powerful, or you loaded the question box, or any of that stuff. Peter, you got it right, because my Father's got your back. Are you praying with me, church? It's a matter of faith in God. It is not faith in a human being. It is faith in God. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But we've seen, first of all, that there's an inquiry that illustrates a problem. And that is simply this, that taking a poll among believers or forming a panel of experts isn't often going to get us where we need to get the proper answer. And so what God does is not a poll, and it's not, if you will, a panel. It's Peter. It's not a poll. It's not a panel. It's Peter. And that leads back to the title that I began with. You see, this is an important thing because very often those other two methods yield nothing but division. And if there isn't someone finally who's anointed to give the answer, we're in real trouble. So let's try to illustrate. There's an important matter on the table. I don't care what it is, but we're just going to... This side has prayed, and you got your Bibles open, and you're praying, and you're studying, saying, help me, Holy Spirit. And then you definitely hear from Jesus the answer. The answer is A. Another panel of experts right over here. You have prayed, you've studied your scripture, you heard Jesus this morning clear as a just clear out of, and he said to you, not A. Well, this side says, but I think you all have forgotten what Paul clearly says over here in 2 Corinthians. Well, they just proved the point using scripture. He said, I think you have forgotten what Paul says over here in the letter to Titus. Okay, what are we going to do, folks? If it's a serious matter now. Okay, don't matter what it is, but just, it's a serious matter. Now what? Can't agree. Back and forth with scripture, back and forth. And you definitely heard Jesus. Jesus told you. He said, Jesus is the head of the body of the church, and he told me A. Told us not A. Is Jesus talking out of both sides of his mouth? Okay, you see the problem, don't you? And if nobody's Pope, everybody's Pope. So this church is excommunicating that church, and this church over here is excommunicating that church, and you're saying, you're wrong, and we're right, and you got it now. And somebody that everybody looks to has to and believes is inspired, we both have to look to somebody. I'm not pointing to me per se, but just let me just stand in for the moment. We have to look to somebody that we all look to and agree God's got his back, and God's going to help us settle our differences. And the Pope finally renders that decision. And that's the role of the Pope. Now, let me read to you a text from Luke that illustrates this. It says here that from Luke 22, "Simon, Simon, Satan wants to divide you 12 like sift you like wheat." In other words, it's an image of dividing. He was pointing to the other 12 apostles. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan wants to divide you all." Now, what's the Lord's solution? "But I have prayed for you, Peter, so that when your faith is strengthened and you've turned back, you will strengthen and unite your brethren." Did you hear that? So, in other words, Peter did have a fall. Peter was not a perfect man, and neither is Francis. But nevertheless, Jesus says, "Peter, when you've come back after your 3 times denying me, and I got you back in place, your role going forward is going to be to unite and strengthen your brothers that the devil wants to divide." Oh, come on, church, let's be honest. We know how good the devil is in dividing us. But you say, "Well, we don't need a head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church." I got that, but this side definitely prayed, and you definitely heard from Jesus. He told us, "Hey." And this side over here definitely heard from Jesus. Told you not a. So somewhere there has to be a representative of Jesus. That's why we call the Pope the vicar. Vicar means a representative, someone who represents the Lord. We all go to him and we say, "You know, the scripture says that God's got your back, that you're going to give us the right answer, not because you're smart or because you favor one side or another, but because the Holy Spirit's inspiring you to give us the right answer. So what's it going to be?" Amen? Now, the Pope doesn't micromanage. He only gets involved when there's serious divisions in the church. Otherwise, he allows a lot of diversity, and so he's not micromanaging. He's not looking over my shoulder as pastor here, right? But if there's ever a huge thing that comes up in the church, that's how we get united, and that's how we stay united. And that's the Pope's role. Now listen, the Lord doesn't just, he's given us an inquiry that illustrates a problem. That taking a poll and forming commissions and all, that's not going to be, we really, at the end of the day, we need somebody who's anointed to call the final shot. So we saw the inquiry that illustrates the individual who is, if you will, inspired. Peter was inspired. And then finally, we come simply then to, if you will, what I've already been developing with you, the installation that's initiated. So he says, "Peter, because of all this, because of the problem of division, because of the difficulties that people will encounter, Peter, I'm handing you the keys. And you're the rock I'm going to build my church on. Peter, I'm going to build my rock on that foundation of the unity that you and your successors will provide, and I'm handing you the keys." Now, the keys are a symbol of authority. "Peter, I'm giving you authority to, in my place, I'll be in heaven inspiring you with the Holy Spirit, but I'm giving you the authority to speak for me. When you bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. When you loose on earth, it's loosed in heaven. But pay attention. Remember how." Not that Jesus is up there, "Did Peter really say that? Oh, I don't know, Dad. I don't know if I would have done that. Oh, well, I guess we'll have to do it." That's not the way it works. The Lord inspires him. He utters the right thing. So what's bound on earth is now bound in heaven. Heaven and earth are in alignment. Are you praying with me? That's what this text is teaching today. It's a hard saying, though, isn't it? We live in a time that's not trustful of, quote, institutions. We live in a time that emphasizes human failings. There are many. And not just in the church, there are many in your home, right? They're in your house too. And in corporate America and down the street in that big white palace at the end of the street. A lot of human struggles, human sinfulness. We live in times that are often cynical, that doesn't trust institutions. And I'm standing up before you and saying that the church, Peter, should be trusted. And you're saying, "I don't know about that." But pay attention, what's the solution? If no one is Pope, everyone is Pope, and endless divisions come. We're all fighting. Your Pope and your Pope and your Pope and your Pope. Every single individual going their own way, doing their own thing. Somewhere along the line, we've got to come and just trust that God has brought his church together with all of our sinfulness and all of our struggles, but that in the essential matters that we need to know about faith and what's right and wrong and what the Lord is actually teaching, that we can trust that the church that Christ founded is going to teach us correctly. Now, someone says, I don't need that church of yours. I got my Bible. I've got my personal relationship with Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit. Don't need y'all. Thanks. Bye. Guess what? You would not even know about Jesus if it had not been that the church was saying, we have seen the Lord. You would not have a Bible if it was not for the church. Jesus never wrote a word. He never wrote a book. He didn't do any of that. How do you and I know about Jesus? Because he gave his message to 12 sinful men and said, now go, tell everybody what I taught you. Teach with authority. I'm giving you the authority to teach. And one of you, Peter, is going to unite. When you all have struggles, he's going to unite you. Now go teach. He didn't write a word. Now, church, I would not found the church that way. I would not do that. But I'm not Jesus. Aren't you glad? All right. I don't know why he did it that way. Why didn't he write a book? Why didn't he put everything down very clearly? Instead, what he did is he founded a church. And you know what books belong to the Bible only because the church, a bunch of Catholic bishops got together in the 3rd century in a place like Hippo, in Carthage, North Africa, and in Rome. They all got together and they decided these are the books of the New Testament. And these are not. That's how you have a Bible. It didn't just fall out of the sky in completed form. It was given through the church. And when those 3 different councils I just mentioned in the 3rd century all took place, actually it was the 4th century, mid-300s, the Pope in Rome said, yes, this is the list. And from that time on, we've been very clear about what books belong to the New Testament. So again, people will often say, I don't need that institution, I don't need the church to know Jesus, don't need any of that, but in effect, you would not know any of this if it was not for the church that he founded. And so I simply ask you, I'm summoning you now to faith in the church. Now let me read you a humorous thing, because again, just to reiterate one more time, the problem is if we just reject all that, all right? Now I mean no offense here. Most of you know I have great admiration for the Protestant churches and preaching in terms of their love for Scripture, their love for Jesus, their personal walk with Jesus, and all the wonderful hymns and music. So I mean no offense here, but there is a significant issue when you start to think that there are some 30,000 different denominations, all dividing up over whether Jesus said A or not A, and then subdividing and subdividing. This is kind of a humorous joke that came to me from a Protestant minister I know in the Washington Interfaith Network. It goes like this. I once saw this guy on a bridge, and he was about to jump. I said, don't do it! And he said, nobody loves me. I said again, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? A Christian, he said. Me too. Are you a Protestant or a Catholic? He said, Protestant. Me too, I said. What denomination? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said to me, Northern Baptist. Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Convention Great Lakes Region? Northern Conservative Great Lakes Region. Me too. Northern Conservative Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Regional Convention of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I let go of his hand as he fell off the bridge. And I said, die, heretic. Now, again, humorous, but it's a serious issue. You know, do you think Jesus wanted all these divisions in his church? Everybody fighting over this and that particular. Somewhere along the line, we're going to do that, though. That's just our nature. We squabble, we fight. We need finally somebody to referee and to finally call the shot. You know, how far could we get in any kind of a sports event if there wasn't a referee that we all look to? And we say, whatever he decides, we're going to move forward with it. Otherwise, the game just breaks down, right? People take their marbles and go home. But if there's a referee, someone we all look to, we can keep moving. And that's the vision of the Pope. Now, finally, a couple thoughts on the church, and then we're done. What is the church? Is the church just an institution? Most people think that. It's not. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the living, ongoing, active presence of Jesus Christ in the world today. The head of the church, Christ, with all of his members, still preaching, still teaching, still feeding, still forgiving, still caring. That's the church. The church is not a human institution. The church is a God-breathed institution with Christ at the head. And we, his members, baptized into him as a member of his body. Now you say, but there's sin in the church. I know, Christ had some pretty questionable friends, didn't he, when he walked this earth, did he not? He was found in sometimes questionable company, amen? There is sinfulness in the church. But when it comes to solemnly defined biblical teaching and so on, such as knowing what books belong to the Bible and what don't, or whether Jesus is divine or whether he isn't, or whether baptism is necessary for salvation, and who God is, and the Trinity, and all these fundamental teachings, I want to raise my right hand and guarantee you, the church, because the church is inspired by Jesus Christ, and he's the head of the church is teaching you the truth. We don't always live it perfectly. We are being taught correctly when the church teaches us solemnly on these matters. Now here comes the question. I'm not asking even for an amen right now. I'm just asking for a very quiet answer. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the church is the body of Christ, Christ the head of that body, and he's still speaking to us and teaching us through his representatives, the Pope and the bishops, who are the successors to the apostles? You know, you say it every day in the creed, every Sunday in the creed. We say, I believe in one God. Let the church say amen. I believe in the Father, and we have a few statements about the Father. And then I believe in the Son. We have some statements about Jesus in the creed. And then I believe in the Holy Spirit. And we talk about, and everyone's still saying amen, amen, amen. And all of a sudden, and I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Now, because we just kind of get into the habit, we just go right on through. But do you see how astonishing that is? You are saying, I believe in the church. The church is an object of faith. But I'm not believing in any man. I'm not trusting in any man. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I want to say, by the way, amen. That's for me. But I also know this, that the church is not a man-made institution. The church is the body of Christ. In believing in the church, I am believing in Christ. Now that's a tough thing to say amen to. Because all of us immediately think of sinfulness, we think of problems. I just remind you, Jesus was found in very strange company when he walked this earth. Do not be dismayed. If we could get rid of all sin in the church, we're all heading for the doors. Be a big empty thing. But when it comes to fundamental teaching, the church has it right because Christ has the church, and Christ is the head of the body, the church. And the church is not an institution. The church is a living, ongoing, active presence of Jesus Christ in the world. He still walks this earth. He still teaches. He still announces. He still feeds. He still forgives. Because the church is his presence here. It's his body. That's our faith. And you say it every Sunday in the creed. So, I leave you with that challenging thought. Got a little quiet in here for a minute. But remember the times in which we live. It's part of what makes it hard. At the end of the day, I wouldn't have done it this way, but Jesus did. He decided to found a church with sinful members like you and me and sinful leaders. Peter denied him 3 times, and yet still he said, Peter, you're the one. Trust the Lord. Don't trust man, but trust God. And you know, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can speak through Balaam's donkey, Lord, you can speak through me. And I don't always get everything right, but I know when I'm handing on the faith that the Lord gave to the church, I got it right. Not because of Charles Pope, but because of the Lord Jesus, who handed this teaching on solemnly down through the centuries, solemnly through his church, through scripture and holy tradition of our councils. So I simply leave you with this request for faith and that question, that fundamental question. Do you believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church? You say it in the creed. Do you mean it? Maybe we all need to just cry out and say to the Lord, I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Amen.